Hi there, so welcome to our YouTube channel. I'm so excited that you're watching this video today. Don't forget, if you have not subscribed to our channels, do so right now. Alright, it'll be a blessing to you. Today, we're talking about a very interesting topic. It is titled Prophets and Prophecies in Marriage. Alright, the place or the role or the issue of prophets and prophecies in marriage. So are prophets supposed to tell us who our wives or husbands? Are we supposed to go and cross check a name, you know, a picture, if this is God's will, from a prophet? Before we start, I want to ask you to subscribe to this channel and take note of our other channels that we have. We would like you to subscribe to them. One is my wife's page, is Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo. We have our official ministry page that is called LDM with PK. Then we also have one titled or called Wholesome Sexuality. That's one where we educate and teach people about sex in a wholesome, Bible-based way. All right, so hey, you want to subscribe to these channels and it'll be a blessing. If you're a family life practitioner, that means you're a counselor, a coach, or a therapist, relationship coach or a therapist, we have conferences and special training mentoring platforms for people like you. If it's something you want to join, or we have courses that will make you certified, you know, trained counselors. If you're interested in those things, we visit our website, ldmwithpk.org. You will be able to do those courses and do those things there. All right, let's get into it. Are prophets supposed to guide us and lead us and all that? So I'll take it question by question, okay? And we'll answer it step by step. First question, does God pick a wife or husband for us? Does God pick a wife or husband for us? The answer is yes and no. Because people generally like spiritual things. People like people like the supernatural, or let me say it this way, people like spectacular things, sensational things. Just because something is spectacular and sensational doesn't mean it is spiritual. All right, we confuse spiritualness with spookiness. We confuse spirituality with, you know, being spooky. So we think that, you know, whatever God is doing must always be dramatic. No, God made us spirit, soul, and body. So there's a dimension to, there are different dimensions to the same issue. All right. Even though God, you know, most times can know ahead of time who your husband and wife is or who you will marry, but it's not really his place or his job to pick a husband or wife for you. But I said yes and no for a reason, and I'll explain. So it's not really normal. It's not the normal order for God to always just pick a husband or wife for you. However, God can guide you. Because that's what he promised. He promised to lead you. He promised to guide you. That is his role. But it's not really his place to, you know, always pick, say, John, marry Jane. You won't see that in the Bible. I remember, for us as Christians, whatever you do or believe must be based on the Bible, not necessarily with people's experiences. You can't follow people's experiences because experiences have no beginning, has no end. You know, experience can go all the way from A to Z in terms of experiences. But the Bible is the one that is stable. The Bible is what has captured God's mind. The Bible can never go wrong. All right? So, biblically, you would never see anywhere in Scripture where God picked a husband or wife for someone. You will never see that. What you would see, you see, is God guiding people. God wants to lead you. Yes. But a lot of times, people say that God told them who their husband and wife is. It's not so. Not that God can't. And of course, there are times where God actually does that. But that is not a regular practice, all right? That is not a regular occurrence. Let me give you an example. It's like saying, can God miraculously multiply bread and fish? Yes. Can God make somebody to walk on water? Yes. Can God turn water to wine? Absolutely yes. But is that what he does all the time? Is that the regular practice? I mean, throughout the Bible, do people just stop selling wine and start carrying gallons of water everywhere? And when your guests come, you pour water in the cup and give him, and it turns to wine. Is that what happened? No. All right, the regular way people go from one part of the town to another part of the town was by boat. But God, at some point, made Peter walk on water. Jesus walked on water. But that's not a regular occurrence. Okay, so I hope you understand the difference now. So, yes, God can, you know, point a wife or husband, but that's not the regular practice. There's no scriptural precedent for that. It's all through Old Testament, right to the New Testament. There's nowhere God told somebody that so-and-so specifically is your husband or wife. It's not a biblical-based principle. So let's look at the first marriage, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 2 and 3, where Adam got married. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 that it's not good for man to be alone. I will find him a helpmeet. And he said, he began to present to him all the animals. If you read the story, he began to present to him all the animals to see what he would call them. And after he passed all the animals, Adam didn't find any of them attractive. And they said specifically, and they could not find a helpmeet for Adam. Meaning that parade of animals partly was for Adam to also see if there was anyone he liked. The Bible is clear about this. It said they could not find for him a helpmeet. You can see the scripture here on the screen. They could not find for him. So after that, they now put him to a deep sleep, brought out the rib, brought out Eve, and presented it. You see, God did not tell Adam, this is your wife. He just brought her to him for the way he brought the other animals. And this time around, it was Adam that said, this is now bone of my bone, and this is now flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, and all that. So Adam made the decision. God will always guide you to look, to see. He will make your paths to cross. You will need to make the final decision. If God is going to make all decisions for you in that way, you will be a robot. You will be an angel, literally, because you have no choice. And that's not the design. Design is that you should choose. You should choose. He will order your steps because there's a promise for you like that. That the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Yes, he will order your steps. But that decision, he still wants you to be part of it because you choose. Because you're the one that's going to live with that man or woman for the rest of your life. If you're totally, you know, if there's no responsibility on you and the marriage is not going well, guess who you're going to blame? You know, guess who you're going to blame if the marriage is not going well? You say, it's God, you're the one that brought me here. This is not what I wanted. No. Marriage is such a serious thing, you have to be involved in that decision. Do you understand? Let's look at another example. When they were looking for a wife for Isaac, Genesis 24. All right? What happened there? The servant that was going to look for a wife prayed before he left. After he prayed, he also had qualities he wanted in a wife, you see. It's a combination of both spiritual guidance and clarity, what you want. It's like looking for a house or looking for a car. You must have an idea of the kind of car or house you're looking for. Then God can also guide you to where you'll find the best one that suits you. It's a combination. God orders your step, but you must know the qualities. So that Abraham's servant, Genesis 24, was going to look for a wife for Isaac. He prayed that God, as I'm going, guide me and all that. You can see the scripture here. And after that, he also had an idea of the qualities he wanted. Number one, he wanted somebody that believed in the same God they believed. He said, him and Abraham discussed, they don't go and marry from another place. Marry from our own people that worship our same kind of God. Secondly, he had specific qualities. He said, I wanted a woman that would be humble, a woman that would be, you know, generous to give us water, that would be homely, that would be fetching water at this time. He had specific qualities. And he said, God, as I'm going, guide me. And when he got there, he met the woman, and the woman was actually kind. The woman gave him water and gave his 10 camels water. He said, this is the kind of woman I want. She's homely, she's friendly, she's helpful, she's supportive. This is what I wanted. It was qualities. It wasn't that God took him and said, behold, Rebecca. No. This is what many Christians want. They want a dream. They want windows and curtains to shake and thunder to hit. And God now say, John, Jennifer, Okosisi, Mbono is your wife. This is what people want. But that's not... that's not necessarily the practice, all right? That's not necessarily a scriptural practice. God orders our steps, yes, and we make the choice. Now, there are cases, in all fairness, where God gave people specific, that's in human experience, this is not biblical, human experience, where God actually gave people, you know, specifics. Yes, there are cases like that, but I don't think you should necessarily wait for that spectacular. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean God is not ordering your steps. Sometimes God orders your steps, and if you already have an idea of what you're looking for, you would know. It will resonate. It will resonate with you that this is the kind of thing I'm looking for. This is good. All right, this is good. This is what I want. Have you noticed that many Christians that say they want to wait for God to tell them their wife, when it comes to university, they know the best university. Do you know? They just know the best university. They know the best countries. When you're watching this, you are abroad. You left Nigeria, you are abroad. It's not God that led you. You know. You see, God is not against progress. God knows good things and he wants you to know good things. If I see a car that is dilapidated and broken down, I see one that is good and working. It's obvious which one is God's will. It's obvious. If I'm going a long journey. All right. Yes, I know there might be exceptional times where God will say, take this one. But ordinarily, if God doesn't speak to you like that, that doesn't mean, you know, that you can't make a good choice if it's based on a right biblical foundation in terms of the qualities. My wife, interestingly, her own experience was interesting when we were getting married. She was in a relationship with somebody for 5 years, and God told her specifically. God speaks to her through the Bible, so that's another thing. You need to know how God speaks to you. I'll get there as we go on. So God spoke to her and said, through the woman by the well, he said, the man you are with is not your husband. And it was like highlighter pen just wrote on that scripture, and God said, yes, this is for you. And she was, wow, she knew in her spirit that this was God saying, this is not the guy. And somehow they got to break up. And then she said, Lord, the same way you told me who he was not, please tell me who it is. And some months or so down the line, she was studying the Bible again, and she was reading the story of David when they were anointing the king, a new king for Israel. And he said, he's the last born, he's keeping the sheep, anoint him, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. And God highlighted that one again. He said, what's that? God said, what position is Kingsley in his family? He said, Kingsley is the last born. I said, what do pastors do? He said, they take care of sheep, they're shepherds. He said, arise, anoint him, for he's the one. So yes, in my wife's case, God specifically told her I was the one. And I'll deal with what to do when you feel God is telling you somebody is your husband or wife. All this, I'll deal with it as we go on. I'm just trying to make it as summarized as possible. Okay. So yes, God guides us. That is sure. That's what we see in scripture. God guiding people. Everybody can believe God for divine guidance. Everybody has a right. But you don't, there's no biblical ground where they say God will tell you specifically who your husband or wife is. All right? Very important. And like I said, it's a balance. You need both. The same Bible that says he that finds a wife finds a good thing also says a virtuous woman who can find. It means this finding is not by your muscle. It's not by your common sense. There's a divine guidance. God orders your step. All right? It's a house and wealth, Proverbs 19:14 or so. Houses and riches are things you can inherit from your father. He said, but a prudent wife only comes from God. So God is still the perfect matchmaker. But you must follow his guidelines. You must follow his principles. You must. Marriage can't be the first time you are trying to hear God. Many people have never been led or guided by God before. They want to start in marriage. You know how God speaks to you. How does God speak to you about other things? All right, when you're accustomed to that, it'd be easy for him to speak to you, you know, regarding marriage. Okay? Very important. So, next step. Can God pick somebody for me that I don't like? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If God is leading you or guiding you to somebody, you will like the person. Please don't say, oh, I want to, God such my decision, I don't even like her at all. I don't like anything about her. No, my brother, check her figure, check her shape. Do you like it? Will you be happy? Will she do you good all the days of your life? Will you be ravished by her love? You know, and all that. He said, let her breast satisfy you at all times. It's in the same Bible. You see, so God is not spooky. It's people that just want to be spooky. People just associate God and spirituality with spookiness. God is not spooky. God talks about natural things, talks about how you're beautiful, talks about sex, talks about being satisfied. So it's very important you understand that, okay? God won't lead you to marry somebody you do not like. All right? Don't come and harass a brother, Christian brother, sister, and say, I'm just here because God says you come. I don't even like anything about you. I'm just obeying God. That's the lie of the devil. He'll usually guide you in line with what will appeal to you. You will like it. You will like it if it's God, okay? You can't suffer through marriage. Next point here. Should prophets guide our choice? Should prophets guide our choice for who should marry? The question is capital no. Capital no. No prophet should tell you who to marry. This, and it pains me when I see born-again Christians, or let me say supposed born-again Christians, carry people's names and pictures. And mothers do that a lot. Mothers, I want to beg you in the name of God. Please grow up spiritually where you can pray and ask God for yourself. You can also pray and tell God to tell your son or daughter the mind, his mind, so that they can be guided. All this taking names to prophets and people to see vision for you and to tell you what God's will is not a biblical practice. and you are putting yourself in danger. And I've seen parents put their children in harm's way. I'm a counselor, and I've been a marriage counselor for over 20 years. Trust me when I tell you, I've seen many parents put their children in big trouble because the prophet said marry somebody or don't marry somebody. It's not a biblical way of doing things at all. In New Testament, it's not so at all. You'll never see it in the New Testament where somebody went to meet another prophet and said, tell me who my husband is. You'll never see it in the Bible. It's not a biblical way of doing things. It's borderline herbalist way of doing, native doctor, spiritualist way of doing things. In fact, most of these people giving you the prophecy are not even born again people. They are spiritualists. I'll take this step by step. So the answer is capital no. There's no biblical preference or a precedent where you see apostle, one of the apostles go, or Lydia go and ask a prophet that is Bartholomew my husband. There's no such in the Bible. That place is Bartholomew my husband, pray about it. No such in the Bible. But yet you see people do these things in the New Testament. All right? It's not there. That's one. Number two, people confuse Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets. We are mixing the two up. In the Old Testament, all right, people, only specific people had the revelatory gifts. Only specific people had the Holy Spirit come on them from time to time. All right, the Holy Spirit was there for function. So only specific people had it. Every human being then did not have the Holy Spirit. So what they used to do was that when someone in their direction, they all had to go to the prophet and the prophet would prophesy to them. That was the practice then in the Old Testament because not everybody had the Holy Spirit in terms of divine guidance. All right? That's how it was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, that order has changed. So now every believer is guided by the Holy Spirit. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What are they saying? All children of God are now led directly by the Holy Spirit. Now, it is easier for somebody to hear, for it's a lazy approach, but and it's risky. It's dangerous. It's not a biblical principle. Because people are lazy. They don't want to know God. What they just want, they want to use God without knowing him. That's what people want. That's what many Christians of today want. And they are paying the price for it. They are paying the price for it. Because what these guys are giving you fake and lies as prophecy. Because you don't want to know God. You just want to hear, use God. You know, it's like you just want to consult a psychic. That's what you want to do. It's not biblical. God wants a relationship with you personally. He wants to be able to guide you. And you see, guiding you doesn't stop at choosing a wife. You loving that wife takes divine guidance. Raising your kids takes divine guidance. The school they will go to. There's so many things you need guidance for. You can't delegate it. Okay? So the Old Testament prophet is very different from a New Testament prophet. In the Old Testament, prophets gave people direction. Yes, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, prophet's job is not to give individuals personal direction. Oh, this is the school should go to. Then we are dependent on that prophet, not on the Holy Spirit. That's not God's pattern. You will never see this in the New Testament. Not all revelations. Not all, revelations are by the Spirit of God. Very important. Not all revelations, even if it's accurate, it's not necessarily by the Spirit of God. Not all prophecy, let me say it that way. Not everybody prophesying is prophesying by the Spirit of God. A lot of Christians don't know this. A lot of Christians are moved when somebody comes to the stage and mentions their phone number, mentions their address, and they'll be shaking, oh God. Oh. So is it that you didn't know your address before? Is it that you didn't know your phone number before? They say, hey, your name is John. You live in Bangboshe Street, and you start to shake. What are you shaking about? Everybody knows. I even know your address. People know your address. How is that spiritual? But you're confused by those things. It's not every spiritual revelation that is of God. I'll read scripture to you. All right? You must be very careful. So, number one, God doesn't want you to go about consulting prophets. Before I read the things I'll read, God doesn't want you to go about consulting prophets. In his mind, whenever you need direction, you ask him and he guides you and leads you the way he normally leads you. He doesn't want you to go consulting prophets. A New Testament prophet doesn't give you personal direction for your life. There's no precedent for it in scripture. What a New Testament prophet can do is to confirm to you something God is already telling you. If you look at what the Bible calls the gift of prophecy, the basic gift of prophecy is to exhort, is to edify, is to build up, is not to direct. All this is in the Bible. They put the scriptures here. The gift of prophecy is to edify, to exhort, and all that. It's not to give direction. That John, don't go to University of Birmingham, go to University of Oxford or something. This is not there. There's no such precedent. In fact, and the attitude and practice of going to seek a prophet when you need direction is not biblical. Let me read a few scriptures on this. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Look at what it says here. It says, and when they shall, Isaiah 8, 19, it says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. That means the time will come. They will say, let's go and look for a prophet to confirm this thing. If John or Jonathan is the one. He said, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God, for they are living to the dead? So when they say unto you, go and do that, he said, don't go. Don't follow them. Because they will suggest it to you, say, let's go and seek spiritists. Let's go and seek all these things. See Leviticus 19:31. It said, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord. Say, don't go after these people. Don't go after them. All right? Very, very important. So I was saying that it's not every spiritual revelation that is of God. Let me read you one in New Testament. Acts chapter 16 from verse 16. It said, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. So she had a spirit that was predicting the future. The spirit that was telling people what would happen. And it was happening. So just because somebody gives you an accurate information of something that happened in your past or present or future doesn't make it of God, guys. Doesn't make it godly. It's not only God's spirit that all spirits can see. In the realm of the spirit, there's no past and present and future. So satanic spirits also can get wind of things that are going to happen. Look at when they, in the time of Moses, Satan got a wind that the deliverer was coming. He moved Pharaoh to kill all sons that were being born at the time. So all Moses' classmates, they killed. Moses didn't have any alumni association to join because they killed all his mates. All this village meeting, age grade meeting, Moses didn't attend anyone because they killed all his age grade. Do you understand? The same thing happened to Jesus. When they were going to give birth to Jesus, Satan caught wind of it too. He caught wind of it. And he moved to Herod too. Same thing. Kill all the boys that have been born. Say, king is about to be born. So, Satan can also perceive things. He's a spirit. He can also perceive things. It doesn't make it godly. It doesn't make it a practice you're involved in. So, all this going to psychic, going to read tarot, going to read star. What do they call that thing when you read star? Astrology. The Bible is clear about that. I said, don't do that. It's satanic. You are going to the supernatural through an illegal route. You are approaching the supernatural through an illegal route. I said, don't do it. Don't go and consult spiritists. Don't go and consult tarot readers, psychics. It's not by astrology. I even see believers write on their page, they are Cancer, they are Aquarius, they are Aries, they are all these things. How do you know what that means? You are reading stars. As a born-again Christian, these are things you can't involve with. There's only one way to know who you are is through the Bible and in the Holy Spirit. You can't be Aquarius, Cancer, all these things. Leo. You are reading stars, astrology. The Bible is clear about those things. You can't be a part of that as a born-again Christian. Come on, guys. Are you reading this Bible at all? Okay. He said, I met a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. He says she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. That's one of the things you notice about this false prophet. It must all boil down to money at the end of the day. Either they are going to fast for you, they are going to do, money must come out, because that's what they are always after. He said she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. He says she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. That was a correct prophecy. He said, who are telling you the way to be saved? She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. I said, at that moment, the spirit left her. He said, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities and began to raise lies against them. You understand? Paul got so angry. The spirit was accurate. He was giving accurate prophecy. It's not every time somebody's giving accurate information in terms of prophecy that makes it godly. There was another case in 1 Samuel, I think, where King Saul wanted to go to war and he was afraid. And he asked if there was any man of God in the town. They said there's no man of God. So he had to go and consult a spiritualist to know whether to go to war or not. And the spiritualist actually called out a familiar spirit. Why are they called familiar spirits? Because they know information about people. They're familiar. They're familiar with people, familiar with issues, familiar with environments. So they can actually give you information of what happened in your past because they're familiar. They're called familiar spirits. Familiar with everybody. Okay? So we are not meant to be guided by prophets. It's not a biblical concept. God wants to lead all his children. You see it in Romans. You see in Colossians. Let the peace of God be the umpire or be the guide in your heart. You know, as being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God wants to lead all his children. Very important. All right? So if you are looking for a husband or wife, you should know the qualities that make a good husband or wife. You see, there's no lazy approach, guys. What's happening to people that they want to be lazy? There's no lazy. Laziness can't work for you. You need to know the qualities to look out for in a husband or wife. Then you also ask God to guide you. It's a combination of both. When God guides you and you get there, you see the qualities, you know. Godly qualities, right? Not qualities like he must have money, he must be tall. That has no bearing on the person, all right? If somebody is short, it doesn't mean he's less of a Christian, less of a good husband, all right? If somebody doesn't have money now, if he's a born-again Christian now, really working hard, he will most likely still make money. And keeping, obeying the principles of God, he will make money. Righteousness and godliness always go together. Prosperity always goes together. If you're doing the right thing, you will prosper. Okay? So let's be clear. You have the real godly qualities. If you don't know what godly qualities are, I have loads of books that can help you. Real godly qualities are then divine direction. Okay, next point. What do I do if someone says that God told them I'm their spouse? All right? What do I do? If somebody walks up to me and says, God told me you're my wife or my husband, what should I do? Number one, pray about it and be convinced for yourself. All right? Another person's spiritual conviction cannot inform your own decision. They are free. Whatever they heard God say to them is their personal dealing with God. Has no bearing on me as a person. All right? So if they claim that God told them that I'm their spouse, then you go and pray for yourself and be convinced. After you pray, what next? If you're convinced, then that's fine. You see, you are moving now on your own conviction, not on their own conviction. You can't marry somebody based on their own conviction. You must be convinced. Whatever they say the head God is their personal business. Has nothing to do with you. You go pray and be convinced for yourself. And that takes me to the next point. After you pray, if you feel it's okay spiritually, next question is, do you even like the person? Because don't go ahead just in the name of prayer. Do you like this person? Because God can't lead you to marry who you don't like. Don't forget. So do you like the person also? Do you like them? Apart from whatever you feel, God is telling you, do you like them? I actually had somebody that came for counseling some years ago. She met and married somebody in 15 days. Somebody appeared to her and said, God said you're my wife and we must get married immediately. And they married in less than 20 days. Either 15 or 19 days, I can't remember. In less than 20 days, they met. Not that they knew each other before. As in, they just met for the first time and within 20 days, they were married. It's crazy because of prophecy. And guess what? After that, the next 20 days, they were divorced. In the next 20 days, they were also divorced. They were separated and the marriage ended. Because there's faulty... spookiness is not spirituality, guys. Sensationalism is not spirituality. Spiritual things is the word. So you pray. Secondly, do you like this person? Get to know them. Let's talk. Okay, leave what God said. That's the third step. Leave what God said. You say your own. What do you like about me? Do you like me? Can we talk? Let's go and take coffee. Do I like you? Can I have a conversation with you? Do I even like you? Do I know you? You see, even if God is leading you, he doesn't excuse the principles. God can lead you to go and start a business. Learning how to register a business is your own job. God won't register a business for you. So people want God. It's laziness, really. That's what's affecting many Christians. They want God to do everything for them. Just lie down for them. I think that's what Christianity is about. You will still pay the price. All right? So ask them, what are they saying? All right? Apart from what that. So if they go through all these things and you like what you see, you know, you can go ahead. What do I do if I feel God is telling me that somebody is my spouse? Now, I'm the one that is telling somebody. What do I do? Very simple. Number one, the question is, do you like the person? Apart from this leading, you're having, do you like this person? Do you like them? Are they your friend? So I shared the story with my wife now, how that she got told that I'm the one and all that. But she liked me. She also liked me, so it was easy. Okay, so number one, do you like, apart from your, whatever you feel God is telling you, do you like the person? Number two, build a relationship with this person. So if I feel, hey, God is pointing me to a lady, for instance, that this is my wife, my first job is not to go and tell her the first day, hey, you're my wife. That's not how it works. Hey, go and talk to her. There are times you might even think God is leading you, and when you get there and talk to her, you find out, oh, no, I think I made a mistake. And there's nobody that has, as a Christian, that has never felt they missed it at some point or the other when they felt God was saying something and it wasn't God. Because at every point in time, your mind is also talking to you, your flesh is also talking to you. So it takes some time, some maturity to always know when it's God's voice. It does. So, hey, talk to them. Give it time. Build friendship. Because that prophecy is not what will sustain that marriage. It's the relationship both of you have, the friendship you have. That way. See, spiritual things doesn't cancel natural laws. It doesn't. You can't be so spiritual and say you won't have sex with your wife. It doesn't work like that. Or you won't talk to your wife. No. So prophecy doesn't hold the marriage. You must still learn the practicals. Okay? Then let them also pray about it. Now you've heard God, fine, but don't even bamboozle them with what you heard. If it's possible, don't even tell them that God told you. Be friends, build a relationship, then let them pray. Let them also decide, because they're going to go on the journey. They shouldn't go on the journey with you because they think God told you. They too should be convinced, because marriage is such a long journey. Such a long journey. Both people must be convinced. All right? So after that, tell them you like them. Tell them what you like about them. Outside of the divine leading, what do you like about this person? Tell them what you like about them and toast them and propose to them. All right. Okay. Next point. How does God speak to us as believers? How does God speak? There are many ways God can speak to you. Many, many ways. God can speak to us through something called the inward witness. That's the major way. That's an inward witness. So times like that, you just know inside your spirit. They also call it a knowing. You just know spiritually. This is not mentally. Your spirit is down here, by the way, not up here. So this is not mentally. This is spiritually. You know in your heart. All right? Your spirit is located down here. That's why it's called your heart, because it's down here. All right? It's not your head. Very important. So inward witness, you just know in your spirit that this is what God is saying to do. All right? On that way, God leads us is by the inward voice. This one is a voice. You hear specific words, but it's a still small voice. First one is a knowing, it's not specific words, but you know, because you're a spirit being, you know. Second one is an inward voice. You actually hear words that John or Jane or London or New York, you hear words, but it's a still small voice. On that way, God leads us is by dreams. Now, the challenge with dreams is that you have to sleep first before you are led. If you're not sleeping, you can't be led. So that's not the primary way God leads us, because sometimes you need on-ground, real-time direction. You can't be somewhere and they say, pick this chair or this chair, pick this car or this car. And you tell them, do you have bed around here? I want to sleep so that I can dream, so that God can show me the car I should pick. No. You see, at that time, you need to know in your spirit what God is saying. Okay? And another thing about dreams is that other things can make you dream. If you eat too heavy in the night, you will dream, because you are too heavy. They will chase you in the dream, or you chase somebody in the dream, because you need to burn that weight of the food you just ate. All right? If you watch a movie, you can dream. If you think about something, the Bible said a dream comes by the multitude of business. Even the Bible says so. So if you think about something too much, you can dream about it. You've thought about how you hate your country so much, and you're dreaming of Canada, Canada, Canada. You will sleep and see Canada flag, of course, and you say, God is saying I should go to Canada. No, you're just thinking about Canada. All right? Things like that. Okay, there's also scriptures. I've mentioned scriptures. That's how God leads my wife mainly. She will read the scripture and she will see something. Which I've been led by scripture before. Very powerful. And then lastly, by inspired thoughts. So these are thoughts, but the difference is that they are inspired. You just know that ordinarily you won't think like this, because your normal thoughts come from information you've received. But this thought looks like just a normal thought, but it's something ordinarily your mind won't go to. So you know it's God inspiring you, you know, to do something. Another way, there are many other ways, but I'm just giving you some of the major ones. All right? So, biblically speaking, God doesn't want us to be guided by prophets. I remember clearly when I and my wife were dating, and remember God has dealt with her about breaking up my relationship, and God has not spoken to her about me, you know. And when God spoke to her about me, she didn't come tell me that God told her my husband. No, she just kept herself. We continued the friendship. You know, if you're the woman and the man, there's a way it works. If you're a woman, you can't go and propose. If you're a man, you can make the move. But you're not going to say, God said, go and know this woman, get to talk to her. See if you like her. If you're a woman and God tells somebody's your husband, be friends with him. Don't go and tell him, I'm looking for a husband. I got to me. I was, no. You're spooking. Just go. Have a rapport. Create a relationship and all that. Let God speak to you. Tell God to speak to him. If God can speak to you, God can also speak to him. All right? So my wife's case, she knew before me that I was a husband, but she didn't say anything about it. We just continued the friendship. All right? Until I got wind of it too. I liked her enough. And I made my move. And she was already prepared. She was, her answer was ready. So, you understand? I said, woman, don't go and propose. Be careful. So I was going to round up by saying, I remember after God had dealt with my wife about her former relationship, it ended. We were now in our own relationship. There was now this prophet that now wanted to, that met my wife and said she was going to give my prophecy. He said, there are two men in your life, because I think her ex was also trying to come back, was like begging her to come back. So the prophet said, there are two men in your life. Don't marry the pastor. That's me. The prophet said, she don't marry me. Can you imagine if I catch that guy? The guy said, she don't marry me. That don't marry the pastor, marry the doctor. So my wife came, my fiancé, we're not married. We're still there. So she came and told me that see what happened though. That the one song, she went somewhere and they gave her a prophecy. And I said, okay, so what did you say? And what are you going to do? Because that would have been a defining moment for me. If she was the kind of woman that would be confused by what somebody else says and can't hear God for herself, I would have ended the relationship there. Because I needed her to declare. I couldn't have dated somebody that can't hear God. If you're going about and what people are saying, prophecy is what's moving you and confusing you. You need to know God for yourself. God wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want any middleman. That's the whole essence of Jesus dying. All right? So I wanted to know, is this kind of woman, you know, because if you're a woman that, or a man that, prophecy is what guides you, it will confuse you. I've seen many homes break because the prophet said your wife is a witch, your husband is a witch, and you break the home because you can't hear God for yourself. You're always dependent on somebody hearing God for you because you don't want to know God. You don't pray. Can you imagine if somebody comes to tell me something my wife said? I mean, my wife are in the same house. It will make you have no bearing. I will know if that's true or not, and it won't matter if it was true because my wife will tell me. I'm with her in the same house. Why would somebody from the outside come and tell me what my wife that I live in the same house are saying? You see, do you see how it is? How funny it sounds when you are supposed to be one with God, but somebody from the outside is one telling you what God is saying to you. Why? That's not a biblical practice at all. So should prophets tell us who to marry? Absolutely not. Do we marry by prophecy? Absolutely not. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God can lead you personally to who you should marry. And the truth is that he wants to lead you. If you are single here and you're trusting God for who to marry, God is still the perfect matchmaker. He knows where your husband or wife is, and he can lead you. And your job shouldn't be, Lord, lead me to my wife. Your God should be, Lord, lead me in my life. If God guides you and leads you in your life, the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter. If you are used to being led by God, it's not just a wife or husband you need. Every other thing in your life, God will guide you. Not just marriage. Don't start from marriage. Every other thing. If God, for me, God told me the school to go to, told me the course to study. So it was easy for him to show me the wife to marry. God is the perfect match because he knows where your ideal. There's no scarcity of husband or wife. If you're a good man, then trust me, they are good men. Stop thinking that, oh, there are no more good men. There are no more good men. If you speaking are a good woman, then there must be a good man. If you're a good man, there must be a good woman. You're not the last American good man or the last Nigerian good man or last Nigerian good woman. You're not. So if you pray for your husband and wife, listen. He said, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know yet. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does a shepherd do to sheep? He guides. That's how you don't lack. Your husband or wife exists, probably not even far from you. If you can yield yourself to the Spirit of God, he will guide you to where that man or that woman is. That's how I met my wife, and it was a big testimony. Can I pray for you? Can I just pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that young man, that young woman that's trusting you for a life partner. Father, you are faithful. You said the steps of the righteous are ordered by you. Lord, I pray for that man, that woman watching right now. Let their steps be ordered. Let them meet each other. Let them meet that man you have prepared for them. Let them meet that woman you have prepared for them in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree it is so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And somebody's asking me, Pastor, is there one person created for me on this earth? The answer is no. There's no one person, but there's a kind of person. All right? There's a one kind of person, but there's no one person. All right? So there's no particular John that is the only will of God, that if I miss John, I've missed it. No. No. All right? The way it works is that there's a kind of person that you're looking for. if John is the first option, that means there are many godly options. If John is the first option and you miss it with that, there will be another good godly option presented. All right? It's not one person. If there was one person made for you, the way people have divorced and remarried, it means they've already married somebody's wife. If they marry somebody's wife, that person's wife will marry another person's husband. That person, so they would have even scattered this, even if there was. By now, would have married somebody, mistake, married somebody's wife by mistake. That person is now wifeless. You're not marrying another person's wife. You're not marrying another person's wife. So they would have scattered it. So there's no one person, but there's a kind of person. There's a quality, a kind that you will like, and God keeps it for you. All right? It's like saying there's one particular Toyota. No, there are many Toyota Camrys. You can choose one. And even with the same color, there are many of that same trim and spec. God will get you one. All right, that is closest to the thing, and you'll build it from there. So I hope this was a blessing to you. Don't forget, subscribe to our channel, like our pages. If you need counseling, both premarital or postmarital or personal counseling, please reach our website. If you want to take any of our courses to be a certified counselor or relationship coach, you can also reach us on our website and take the courses and be a certified counselor or marriage coach. All right, God bless you. Look forward to seeing you.